It's going to be all the original people. John Mayer on drums flew in from California. Monica Morris on vocals came in from Indiana. Gerard Montague, Michael Hill, and myself live here in town, along with our sound man, Don Shurick, who's going to mix us. So it was great just hanging around everybody and telling old stories and laughing and hearing that sound that only five unique individuals can make, and then having Don there to help with the engineering and the mixing and everything. It was really a nice flashback, and that's what we think this whole evening is going to be, is just kind of like a big, almost like a big high school reunion where we're going to see all our old friends from the 80s, and can't wait to see everybody.
For those people who really didn't know Mojo Stew, maybe they didn't live in town, could you give us a brief synopsis? How long was Mojo Stew a band? And, how did you guys all get together in the first place?
We were a band from about 86 to 91, and Monica and Michael and I had played in an R&B band together, so we knew of each other, and that band broke up, and we were looking for something to do. Michael Hill and I think the first time we played together was at Waterson Towers in my dorm room in like 1973 or 74. So we needed a drummer, and John Morris had gotten back off the road out west along with Monica. And so it's like, well, here's the good core of the band. So we started working up a bunch of R&B stuff, and people seemed to like it. It was very danceable and funky and bluesy, and we thought something's missing though. And after jamming with various people on saxophone and harmonica and stuff, this guy walks on stage with a saxophone, and I knew him because I had done sound for Ron LaSalle's band at Scotty's, and it was Gerard Montague on saxophone. And the guy just played great and looked great. I thought, but what's this guy going to be like, And it turns out he's the nicest guy with the funniest sense of humor, and he's got stories from playing all over America with bands. And so we all just kind of got to be friends, and we had a good chemistry together. And one thing led to another, when we started getting booked at better and better gigs, and we played all over the Midwest. And eventually, we wound up out in California on Natalie Cole's Big Break show, which was really a thrill for me after seeing the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I thought, God has been very kind to me and the band. So we had a lot of fun.
Fresh from their hot live concerts throughout the Midwest, they came to Big Break just to sing for you. Please welcome Mojo Stew.
Well, we're listening to the clip from The Big Break, that talent competition you mentioned that was hosted by Natalie Cole. And that was sort of, boy, one of your highlights of being Mojo Stew. But you had a lot of highlights with that band. And you guys, and I was asking the Something Brothers the same thing, they just never quite made it, and they were good enough. Mojo Stew was good enough. I know he got close to being signed by Alligator Records. What were you being told at the time by the people in the business? Did you need to do something? Did you need to do something else? What were they advising you to do to get to that next big level? Do you remember?
We worked with a lot of really good producers that all taught us a lot of stuff. Over the years, we refined our look, and we kind of went through some different things. When we first started, it was still coming on the kind of the tails of Prince, and so we wore leather and stuff like that, and kind of had that Minneapolis sound. I had just come off the road with a band that was signed in Minneapolis, so as far as the look evolving, we went to more of an urban contemporary. But then we found success playing the blues circuit. And so that's why Alligator started hooking us up with people like Joanna Connor and Lonnie Brooks and Big Daddy Kinsey and the Kinsey Report. And I forget, there were so many that we opened for. It was so neat to be a part of that, the whole Chicago music scene. But what was lacking, they couldn't categorize us, because we had the funk thing going on, and we had the blues thing going on, and we didn't want to be limited in just to one format or style. So ultimately, we couldn't decide which direction to go, just be a blues band, which was working and we were really successful, or try to aspire bigger now that we had that taste of L.A. and the Natalie Cole show. And then ironically, after we broke up, Dave Matthews comes on the scene with a saxophone player and a funky, it's like, doggone it.
Well, Well, we're talking with Bill Porter of Mojo Stew. The band is reuniting with the Something Brothers and the Mechanics April 8th at the Castle Theater. And I'm sure that looking back is natural with this upcoming show. Bill, what kind of memories are bubbling up for you, have bubbled up for you and the others in the band?
Oh, it's just been so fun remembering some of the funny things that I had forgotten and somebody else will remember. And it's like, oh, yeah, that did happen. We went down to Nashville and recorded at the University of Tennessee or whatever it is down there. And that was really neat, being able to see, you know, Nashville. That was such a music city. And it was, I mean, I'm from the Chicago area, and Chicago, of course, is a music city big time with the blues and everything. Nashville's got a whole different scene. Then we went out to Los Angeles. That's got a different scene. We played a lot in St. Louis, and, you know, that the blues, it's a whole different kind of a bluesy sound, but a wonderful scene. We played in Quad Cities a lot. You know, the river towns have a certain bluesy vibe to it. It was just neat traveling around and meeting different people and finding out the way that they do things maybe is not the way that you do it. And it's like, oh, well, you're wrong. It's like, no, wait a minute, that's a better way to do it. So it really is kind of a mind expanding thing, and just so fun riding around in the bus. Michael and Gerard would be listening to Frank Sinatra and laughing at the backseat.
Well,
and John, we called him Kingpin because he was the leader. He had a bag phone, and we thought that was really cool because he could talk to our manager while we were on the road.
That was John?
Yeah, John. John was the leader of the band as far as the business.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned how Mojo Stew probably didn't get to that next level because you couldn't quite decide exactly what you wanted to do. The Something Brothers pretty much told me the same thing. Is like, man, we were there doing this, we were doing that. We're kind of all over the place, but we're all in that kind of rock umbrella. And they said the same thing happened to them. That's really interesting. Well, another thing that I asked Tommy and Ed of the Something Brothers, I want to ask of you to wrap this up. How difficult is it going to be for you guys to come up with a set list for this show?
Well, we've already put together a set list, and we've already had a couple of practices.
Okay.
And it was so cool hearing that sound again after all those years. And there were so many songs. Like I say, we had several sets of originals. And going back and listening to them, I had forgotten how complex they were, some of the bridges and the parts that we put in there. And it's like, holy smokes, how in the world did I figured this. So for me, it was more like, how did I do that? So the memory banks are a little foggy.
You really did have some game back then, huh?
Yeah, and we've got CDs to prove it. So we're going to have both of our CDs are going to be available if anybody wants a stroll down memory lane.
When Randy, who's working with the Something Brothers, he let me know about this about a month and a half ago. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is going to be huge. And I'm guessing you're getting the same vibe from all the people you're hearing, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting stopped as I go around town or whatever. People say, hey, what's up with that? It's going to be really, really fun. It's only $12 to get in. That's for all three bands. So, I mean, we're not trying to gouge anybody. We just want to see everybody again and hang out and remember good times at Scotty's and Mosey's and all the places we used to hang out way back then, you know? Yeah, come on down. It should be a blast.